Hey. And a very happy Monday to you. Monday, December 18th. Welcome in to the Lowdown. I am Damian Barling, joined by the phenom that is one Jason H.W. Ross. And boy, oh boy, do we have some things to get into today. We got Sacramento Kings tickets to give away as well. Sacramento Kings going to take on the Phoenix Suns on December 29th at the Golden One Center. We have those tickets coming up for you. Kings lose to the Toronto Raptors yesterday. A lot of good, a lot of bad came out of that game. Kings are now 9-20. We'll discuss that here in just a little bit. There were some pretty eye-popping games yesterday, Jay Ross. Good and bad. Jaguars clinched a playoff spot. Looks like the Packers are out of it. Eagles locked up a first-round bye. We're going to get into all of that. We're going to have best and worst of the weekend. You want to share yours, you can. We got the text line open in front of us here at 44-11-40, and the texts are already coming in. You can get us here on the phone lines. We're guest-free all day, man. We are here at your disposal. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. 49ers win again. Jimmy Garoppolo is undefeated. He is the perfect man.
He is.
And in more ways than one, we'll get to all of that. We will do our best to cover every single thing that went on this weekend. I was just telling Jason, I feel like we could do 3 hours on three stories. Your Kings, because you love to talk about your Kings. Fair enough. We'll get to them. The Steelers and the Patriots, that game, and how that game ended. Ben Roethlisberger's comments after the game, which I find astonishing, and the Raiders fumbling the season away. Now, I was trolling. First of all, I'm sorry. I was trolling Raider fans last night on Twitter.
That's not nice.
It's not. But remember, I really like the Raiders. Remember how you felt about the Raiders last year?
Yeah.
That's how I felt about the Raiders this year. So I felt that it was within my rights to be a troll. And I didn't get to see the end of the game live because I was at the Golden One Center. And I started getting my phone is really, there's a lot of things happening. So I'm going and I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh boy. Okay, let's get somewhere and try to figure out what just happened. And the Raiders literally just threw their season away. You know why it's funny is because neither one of those damn teams in Oakland last night deserved to be anywhere near the playoffs. The Cowboys aren't playing well. I know Ezekiel Elliott's got the crop top ready. He's coming back shredded. He looks like he's in incredible shape. Great. They didn't look good last night. They had a game plan that was working there in the first quarter. They went away from it. Neither one of these teams did. Now the Cowboys aren't in the playoffs right now. But with what happened to Seattle and some of the different things that are transpiring, they got as good a shot as any to get in right now. But the Raiders, just to lose that way, and there's going to be a lot of conversation about, okay, what rule is going to get changed first? The one that affected the Oakland Raiders or the one that affected the Pittsburgh Steelers? And that's what we'll start here today. Jay Ross, the Raiders' ugly season unofficially came to an end last night with their 20-17 loss to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, there were so many things that bothered me about the game as far as kind of the rules that we're talking about. But that's going the easy way as far as when we're analyzing the Raiders. Now, analyzing the league and rules and different things like that, I think that's we're going to have that conversation, obviously, about some of the things that were called. But what's wrong with the team? Let's go with there. That's where the therapy needs to begin, because how are they going to get better? Is last year an outlier? Are they more like this year? Did they underperform? What's wrong? People are killing the offensive coordinator, Todd Downing. People are killing Jack Del Rio. Some of it has to go to Carr. Where's Cooper been? Obviously, he was out yesterday. The defense wasn't as strong as it should have been. There's so many things that went wrong with the team. And then even in a game that the last 2 weeks, they had to win. Last week, I thought there was no fire, no heart, no passion. I felt like they competed. They made an effort. I looked at them yesterday going, kind of like you said, neither team looked like they belonged in the playoffs. And they didn't look like a playoff team. Yeah, they were trying. Their effort was there. They're not good enough. And that's probably a harsh reality.
Yeah, not in no facet of the game are they good enough.
No.
But they were good enough to win last night, and it's amazing. The parallels between that Sunday night game and the, you know, America's game of the week, as they call it, the Steelers-Patriots game, is really incredible. Two teams with an opportunity to, if nothing else, tie the game. And because guys try to make plays and to get the win, as you always want guys to do, right? You play to win the game, as our favorite Arizona State University coach says, it ends up costing them the game. No chance to tie, no chance to do anything. You just, that's how it ends. And man, oh man, like that fumble out of the back of the end zone. That's going to be, I don't know that the competition committee can get together fast enough to change that rule.
Yeah, there were four things in the game. Now we're talking about rules that bother me a lot. That it's funny when we have.
Okay, index paper.
Yes.
That the fumble.
Yes.
Crabtree.
Yes. The other one's a little bit random and not. It was first half.
Okay.
The field goal that went over the top of the upright. It looked like he missed, in fairness.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm 85 to 90, mm-hmm. but I don't know how you fix that one. I don't know if the uprights need to be higher.
Too high.
Yeah.
Is that a line for Major League? It's too high.
But that's just weird. I mean, that's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit like, oh, if there was an index paper up there, would it have hit the paper? I mean, I don't know. I think he did miss. That one is probably my least issue. The one I've had a problem with for years, and it helped the Raiders. I'm rooting for the Raiders to win. There is no way a single infraction should go for 50-plus yards. The pass interference on fourth down goes for 54 yards. That's ridiculous. There's no way a single penalty should be that large.
Spot of the foul.
Yeah. But 15 yards. That makes so much more sense.
But does it?
Yeah. Why should it? So that penalty is greater than anything else you can do?
Yes.
So in theory, again, we're doing super hypotheticals. I throw from the one to the other one, which would be one heck of a throw. Mm-hmm. You hold me down there. I get the ball at the 1 yard line, a 98-yard penalty. That would be
okay. That is the absolute most extreme you could
possibly
give. But
this was 54 yards. He got half a field, more than half a field.
I think should we do like? Remember. They got rid of this for a reason, so this is a stupid suggestion. But remember when there were different levels of face mask penalties?
Yeah, 5 and 15.
5 and 15, right? Mm-hmm. One was intentional, egregious, held on to it. That's the 15. One is you kind of you touched, you hit it. That's the 5.
Yeah.
With pass interference calls, if it's a blatant pass interference on a 50-yard throw, like, what if you're beat as a defender and it's like, oh, my God, I just got to dive to stop this guy. Yeah. And instead of giving up 60 yards or a touchdown or whatever, you're giving up the 15.
15 in the first down. It's still the drive, still your ball. I mean, I think it's that way in college. It's that way in every other level. I just don't get why that one is a spot foul.
I don't know. I don't have an answer as to why it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So that's more egregious than, I don't know, you're holding to protect the quarterback from getting sacked. So what you're doing is holding the receiver from catching it. That's 10 yards. Mm-hmm. You didn't sack him, 10 yards. But that's going to be 50, 60, 70, 30, whatever the yard. It just seems crazy to me.
Well, yeah, I guess they are always operating under the assumption on the pass interference clauses that the receiver is going to catch the ball.
Yeah.
And there are sometimes, like, they used to have the uncatchable ball, like the ball wasn't catchable.
Right.
So I feel like they've thrown that out the window.
Yeah, we rarely
see like,
that.
It's like, oh, the – dude, with all that we've seen Odell Beckham Jr. doing, Antonio Brown and A.J. Green and Calvin Johnson and all these freak – and Julio Jones and all these freak wide receivers, they're just like, yeah, no, pretty much anything you throw in the air is going to get caught. So we're throwing that 54-yard. I don't know, Jason. I don't have an answer to that. I know a lot of – Raider fans are pissed today. And, I mean, look, you have a right to be upset. Raider fans have a right to be upset for a number of reasons. The rule with Derek Carr was called correctly. The index card.
But should that be changed, though?
Absolutely.
Why is that the only place in the field that you can fumble and the defense gets the ball?
I have no idea.
Makes zero sense.
I've never understood that. The fact is both of these rules desperately need to be changed.
I agree.
Because And the other rule I'm referring to, obviously, is the Jesse James, the Pittsburgh Steelers play. I don't know what they call it. What is the term that they were using all morning? Survive
the ground. Yeah. Ground can't cause a fumble, but it can interrupt a catch.
You have to survive the ground.
Yeah.
So I may be blind or just an idiot. I still thought he caught the ball.
Right, and that's where
I know the ball moved. I
sure
saw the ball move.
Right.
I still think he caught the ball.
Yeah, there were two. So that's funny that you say that because I agree with that. And then even as silly and as weird as the index card or whatever that was measuring the. Mm-hmm. I still thought he was short.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what he justified.
What was the index card for? What,
yeah. I mean, like, it still looked like there was a gap to me. And then I thought he was going to stand up and say first down Raiders, and he went first down Cowboys. I went, wow. All right. So, I mean, I thought football there were some great games. I thought they just had some weird issues with the rule. And it's funny. There's so many things that we get people that call us that complain about, whether it's CTE, violence of the sport, protests, different things, ownerships doing different things.
Sounds like me last week.
I had a bigger issue with all of this stuff that kind of takes, I don't know if fun's the right, but the common sense. Like, I feel like all of us watch a game now differently about what's a catch. Well, did he complete the process? Did he make it? What does all of that mean? Did he have two hands on the ball? Did he catch it?
Well, you watch that. There's only one reaction to have. To that sequence there in Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
That might have been my response verbatim.
Yep.
Watching the end of that game.
Yeah.
Because it's so in any scenario in football, the ball breaks the plane. A quarterback dives over 300-pound guys and stretches over and it breaks the plane. Hey, calm down, Rock. Take it easy there. And it's a touchdown.
Yep.
But
unless he fumbled it first and it went out of the back of the end zone.
Well, but the ball didn't break the plane.
Yeah, right. Like cars
play. If he had let go of the ball or dropped the ball or whatever had happened after he broke the plane, it's a touchdown.
Exactly.
Because he's a runner.
Right.
He doesn't have to survive the ground because he's a runner.
Right.
But when you're a receiver, the guy – Dez Bryant caught the ball.
I agree with you.
Right?
Common sense says he caught the ball.
Jesse James scored a touchdown
yesterday. I agree 100%.
And it's like –
It's frustrating.
Going back, like you go back – if you fast or rewind, I can't – 2010, 12, I genuinely can't remember the year. But the Calvin Johnson play week one of the NFL season. You go back and watch that. You look at that now. It's a touchdown. It was a touchdown then. It was a touchdown now. But the NFL felt the need. They backed themselves in the corners. Well, okay, we overturned this one. Okay, now we have to stick with this. Every week, every other week, or maybe only in high-profile situations, Dez Bryant, this one here.
Yeah.
You're looking at this like, I literally don't know what in the sweet tap dancing baby Jesus a catch is.
Right.
I don't know.
And that's frustrating. It's tricky to your eyes. It's tricky to yourself as a fan. You wonder what's going on. You think you believe it's a catch. Then they go through the whole process, and you're like, well, they're taking a long time here. You know what? It may not be. They may find a way to say this is not a catch. And it wasn't. And then just even the inequities of where they have some of these rules, like you said, even with Carr. Carr fumbles that ball midair, and it takes like a nose of the football bounce right before the goal line and goes out inbounds at the half-inch line. It's Raiders ball. But because it crossed the plane without him having possession, it's a touchback. Mm-hmm. But if he crossed the plane with it, like you said, just for a fraction of a second and then lost the ball, touchdown.
Yeah.
And you just go, this is – it's frustrating. It really is. And, you know, not specifically for the Raiders, for the Steelers, for anybody. Just the inconsistency with this.
44-11-40 text line is all over the place this morning. Share your thoughts. 44-11-40. See the phone lines are already rolling here. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's touch on these a couple. They need to change the end zone rule. How can you reward the opposing team with the ball? It's completely ridiculous. And then right above that, Damien, why do you want to change the fumble out of the end zone rule? How about you just not fumble out of the end zone?
Okay, but I can fumble at my own one, and it's not your ball. I can fumble at the 10, the 50, anywhere else in the field. Mm-hmm. Why would the defense get the ball? If anything, make some other provision. I mean, you can't advance a fumble, but yet he fumbled at the 2, roughly, 3, 2. But it's technically advanced as a touchback because you didn't have possession. It went through the out of the end zone and side of the end zone.
Well, he let go of the ball at the 2.
Yeah.
The ball flew into the end zone and went rolling.
So, in a sense, it was advanced.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I fumble at my 10. It's not your ball if it went out of bounds. Yeah, I don't have possession, but it's not your ball.
Here's some. This is pertaining to, I think, your spot foul question. What about a Hail Mary situation?
Same idea. Yeah, PI there. It's spot of half the distance. Well, not half the distance.
It'd be 15, right? That's what you want?
Oh,
right?
I would say, yeah,
yards.
Absolutely.
But I mean, a Hail Mary situation. That's ball on the one. That's
now
an untimed down with ball
right.
on the one.
Yeah,
I don't know that I'm not okay with that.
Really?
Like, I don't mind the. I don't think it. I mean, yes, yesterday it was huge. Like, I'm going to go back to my man right here. Why do you want to change, or my girl, sorry. Why do you want to change the fumble out of the end zone rule? Why don't you just not fumble out of the end zone? Why don't you just not commit pass interference 50 freaking yards down the field?
Yeah.
Be a better defender.
True.
I feel like if you're committing pass interference 50 yards down the field, you know you got screwed.
Mm-hmm.
This is an equivalent of Deion Sanders grabbing his hamstring. After someone beats him, and you're trying to bail yourself out.
But in this specific case, I think Crabtree did a lot of selling. There was some grabbing, but I think he kind of came back towards the ball knowing that he was going to try to catch it. But once he couldn't, it was like, I'll kind of jump into him, fall back. I don't know. It just 54 yards for a penalty? No way.
The NFL's explanation of why Jesse James' catch wasn't a catch, he said it was a catch. Well, okay. That's Texas, confusing as the end of the game was yesterday. And, D-Lo, get your boy Diddy. Just say no. Yeah, we'll get to that's not my boy, by the way. That is not my boy. How about this one, Jay Ross? If you're careless enough to fumble before the end zone, into the end zone, out of bounds, then you should be penalized. Good rule. All right. Oh, man. Tex Nation is feeling it today. 44-11-40. Keep those thoughts coming. George, it is great to hear from you, my friend. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Hey, George.
Hey, Georgie, what's happening?
Oh, hey, check this out. Garoppolo, right now with San Francisco, they're going to go undefeated this year, and next year, I would be highly surprised if they don't make the playoffs. That boy knows how to win. I mean, look at what happened since he's got to San Francisco. Garoppolo is the greatest thing to happen to San Francisco since, what's his name, Montana. And I need help. I need help on this one. When Zeke comes back to the Cowboys, who's going to take over the NFC? Is it the Cardinals, Philly, New Orleans, Atlanta, or the Rams? And I figure Pittsburgh will beat New England going to the Super Bowl. And lastly, I need them Kings tickets, man. I put myself in a major bind, man. Please.
George, first of all, I'm so confused. Well, okay, George, first of all, we appreciate you. We thank you so much for the call. Let me tell you right now, we're gonna give away these tickets at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, George. So I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to give you the jump on everybody else. No one knows this but you, George. We're going to give these tickets away at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We're going to have them every day for you. Did George throw in it? Did I hear Cardinals?
Yeah, he did. Who would be the best of the NFC?
Yeah, okay.
He lost me there.
It's not the Cardinals,
yeah,
George.
Take them off the list.
I think you might have just thrown that in there based on history. Yeah, but it's definitely not the Cardinals. Can I tell you, though, I was having a conversation with someone yesterday regarding the 49ers. I don't know that he's far off in that.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think that he's far off in thinking the 49ers can make the playoffs next year.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Good offseason. Garoppolo's good.
Get him an offense. Get him one skilled player and one moderately skilled player and load up that offensive line to protect your investment. Wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Yeah.
Like, I think
pretty smooth.
Man, I really think Kyle Shanahan is building something there. And if you're talking trust the process with the San Francisco 49ers, I don't think this process is going to be going on very long before they get into the playoffs. So, George, I'm kind of with you on there. You lost me on a few other things.
Huh.
You know, There's a lot to unpack here. There's a lot to unpack from week 15. You know, the Rams absolutely annihilated
what
the Seahawks.
What a statement.
The Seahawks are on. I've never seen the Seahawks get their butt kicked off. And by the way, they got guys tossed out of the game again. Like,
they're
the
down.
Worst losers,
yeah.
I think, in all of sports.
Yeah, they're melting down. And the Rams smelled blood, and they went there thinking they were the better team. And they showed
for sure.
It. I mean, like, it wasn't like, hey, it's tough to win in Seattle. We'll try. Like, they crushed them and wanted to crush them and kept going. They didn't back off at all, and I thought that was pretty cool of the Rams just, I mean, to really go for it.
Destroyed yeah. them and really kind of exposed that defense. And now you got Seahawk on Seahawk crime with, you know, Earl Thomas had something to say about Bobby Wagner on Twitter, or actually in the media scrum. Bobby Wagner caught wind of it, clapped back on Earl Thomas on Twitter, and you're looking at it like this. Between the guys getting thrown out in the last 2 weeks, you see them going at each other. They're on the verge of not making the playoffs. Like, they could screw around and miss the playoffs. But I'm glad the Rams won that, because that puts them in control of the division. And as you and I noted on Friday, a travesty would have been for that team to not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I will say this. With all the talk about Philly, and, you know, we'll get to them, because I think what Nick Foles did yesterday was pretty special and had to give that coach, that city, that team – a whole lot of confidence moving forward. Just the way that the game within the game, and the way that it all played out. But who's talking about the Rams being a legitimate threat in the playoffs? Anybody? Because I haven't heard the conversation.
Not before yesterday, maybe.
I've heard, you know, we've heard Seahawks, of course. We've heard, oh, boy, the Packers. They could do it. We've seen it. Well, it's not going to happen now. New Orleans has been there. Atlanta's been there. Carolina's been there. None of that would be surprising. We've heard Philly. I don't know that the sentiment is still there with Carson Wentz, but here the Rams are.
Yeah, Rams and Vikings coming in the same boat.
Putting up 40 over and over and over again. And even the Vikings, we've kind of, like, would you be surprised if the Vikings, we never have those conversations about the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
They're just, as good as they are, they're just hanging under the radar.
Yeah.
They're just, don't mind us. We'll score 40. Hey, Greg, I picked you up. I want you to hang on just a second, man. We got to step out. If you want to get in with your thoughts, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. The text line is on fire right now, and we love that. We're going to keep touching on this. 44-1140, as we said. There's so much to get into from the NFL weekend. We'll talk more about the Raiders, more about the Steelers and the Patriots and the ramifications of that. Antonio Brown will give you an update on him. Sacramento Kings lose to Toronto. We'll try to get in all of this. We're just getting started here on the Lowdown. Kind of all over the place here on the text line regarding this end zone rule and whether the ball should be given to the other team if it's fumbled. Like, everybody has opinions on this. How about this one? We're just talking about the Seahawks and the Rams there. As a Seahawks fan, I was absolutely disappointed with everything that happened yesterday, especially the Wagner-Thomas words after the game, but I honestly believe the Rams can win the Super Bowl. And this is a great point that we actually haven't touched on. They may be one of the healthiest teams in the league right now.
That's a good point.
And when you look at what's going on with Pittsburgh now, with Antonio Brown and dealing with that, you know what? If you didn't hear Roethlisberger's comments yesterday, wow. We're going to run those for you in just a heartbeat as we get back to that. Greg, you've been patient. We greatly appreciate it, my man. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm doing good.
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 Hey, how you like that concert last night before I get to my question? You liked it?
Oh, man. Jay-Z at the Golden 1 Center. Yeah, I thought it was amazing. Like, it exceeded every expectation I had. Plus, it was packed. I don't know when those tickets sold, but they sold sometime over the last 48, 72-something hours. Man, I thought he did an amazing job. I thought it was an incredible show. I thought he killed it.
Yeah, I loved the production. That's my favorite rapper. So that's the first time I was starstruck by somebody. So I love the show.
Yeah, he did an amazing job of mixing in the 444 tracks, which have kind of a slower, more like message-like feel to them, with the club popping hits that everybody knows. And yeah, man, the Golden 1 Center was jumping last night. It was fantastic.
Yeah, he did a good job. So I have a quick question. So I was thinking, Jimmy G, his impact on the Niners, what he's doing. So do you think if he was on the team week one, they would be competing at least for a wild card?
No, I don't.
Too many flaws,
I think. Yeah, I think there's still a lot of flaws, Greg, with the San Francisco 49ers. I think there's still the, you know, to steal a phrase from our old partner, there's still that new hotness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can go back and you can look at guys like Russell Wilson and you can look at guys like Tony Romo when they first get in and they get their starts. Teams have a really hard time adjusting to them. Now, I know there is some game film on Jimmy Garoppolo, just not very much. But given the deficiencies that the San Francisco 49ers have, Jason, I think Jimmy is completely, like, exceeding expectations.
Absolutely.
Through the last, you know, 2 weeks or whatever.
And fast-tracked it, right? They thought mm-hmm. he was going to be the guy for the, you know, starting next year, but we got a taste of him, and he's been a difference. He has been really, really good.
Yeah. We appreciate you, Greg, man. Thanks for the call, my man.
All right, thank you.
All right, be well. I think what Jimmy Garoppolo has done is pretty incredible. Back to Ben Roethlisberger here for a minute, Jason. So I'm sure as everybody's caught up with, you know, the visual aspect of what happened there at the end. The touchdown pass that wasn't a touchdown pass, the slant play on the next toss, clock running down. Big Ben runs up. It looks like they're going to spike it. He does a fake spike, he tries to, you know, squeeze a ball in there to a rookie nonetheless, right?
Right, and only one receiver in the route. I mean, that was
three
disaster.
Defenders.
Disaster.
Three defenders, one receiver.
And one receiver in the entire route. Like, everybody else froze. That wasn't good.
That's because I think they thought he was going to spike the ball. This came from the media scrum after the game.
Is the last play your call to go for it, the fake spike?
It wasn't a fake spike. I was yelling clock it because I felt like that was the thing to do, was clock it and get yourself one play. And it came from the sideline, don't clock it. Well, at that time, I'm already got everyone thinks it's clock, so you don't have time to try and get everyone lined up. So it's, I tried to, Eli saw that, you know, he kind of ran a quick slant in there, and at that time, you just got to try and make a play, and if I didn't make a good enough throw.
Not the time for that.
He's a liar. There's no way that you, first of all, he not only threw, because he's obviously talking about Todd Haley.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear he's talking about Todd Haley. Those two have had it's shocking that Todd Haley is still there, given the relationship that those two have had over the years. But really, like, you just, not only did you throw him under the bus, you just, like, rolled over him a couple times. Just mm-hmm. drive forward, drive backwards a little bit, drive forward again. I think he's lying. I think he tried to be cute. And I think he called the spike, nodded to the receiver. You know, he was the only guy who ran.
Yeah.
Gave him some, hey, go. I'll get you.
Maybe a fade when it's one-on-one, not into the traffic. Ball gets tipped.
You got a lot of other guys. I know Antonio Brown wasn't out there.
Right.
Juju did you pretty well in those final moments.
The play that got him, what, 60-something yards just seemed like it was a little 5-yard crossing route.
Martavius Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
You have
Le'Veon Bell.
You have, yeah.
Jesse James.
You have guys who can perform for you. Why'd you put that kid in that position?
Right.
And then you ran. And now, dude, Ben has been a word that rhymes with stick all year. I don't know what his deal is. Yeah. And I guess that's the way he's always been. It's just glaring. Maybe I don't have it anymore, and his little snotty ass attitude. But that right there, come on, man.
Yeah.
Really?
And I left, you know, last week, what did we talk? Will Graves, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, if Pittsburgh can't win this one, they can't beat New England. I actually was impressed with Pittsburgh because of the early, I mean, when did Brown go out? First quarter? So he's out of the game. Their best, talking about him as MVP last week.
Right.
So without him, Bell was able to do what he hasn't been able to do against New England in the past. Gronk had an incredible game. And for the most part, Pittsburgh's leading that whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And it took some great work. I mean, it was great drama at the end of that football game. So I was impressed with Pittsburgh. But, you know, New England doesn't seem to make they may get more picks at the goal line than any team I've ever seen.
Here's Mike Tomlin after the game.
Do you have a problem with Ben going forward in that situation?
No, man. We play and play to win. That's what we do.
I love the dichotomy of those two audios back to back, because the question was, listen to it again, and I'm playing semantics a little bit here, but listen to the question again.
Do you have a problem with Ben going for it in that situation?
No.
Do you have a problem with Ben going for it in that situation?
He never said anything about it. There was a call from the sideline.
No correction from Mike Tomlin. No, Mike Tomlin didn't say, well, no, that came from Todd Haley. No, that came from us on the sideline. Nope. That was Ben's call. Ben's the only one who won't admit that that was his freaking call. Mm-hmm. Come on, Ben. Do better than that, man. You're a freaking Hall of Fame quarterback, man. Just own it. What other quarterback doesn't own it? I know, but Peyton Manning threw an interception in the Super Bowl, and everybody who saw it, every single person who saw him throw that interception against the New Orleans Saints knew the receiver ran the wrong route. That was my fault. Threw a bad ball.
Yeah.
My fault. Threw it wrong. I can't remember who it was. I feel like it was Patrick Creighton, but I'm not sure. I can't remember who it was. So everyone's taking it. The receiver is taking response. I blew it. Like, I screwed up. Mm-hmm. It didn't stop Peyton. Nah, like, it was my fault. Threw a bad ball. When you're the quarterback, man, hold yourself accountable. Do you have a problem with Ben going for the win? Nah.
We compete to win.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Yep. It's just the play was executed terribly.
Yes.
With of all the people you had on the field, that was the wrong guy to go to.
Right, and about the only way that's the only way you don't force overtime or a missed field goal.
Right.
But they went for it, got tipped.
The similarities between the two big games yesterday. Yeah. Just incredible. Two teams in field goal position, all you needed was a field goal, and they both lose in just the absolute strangest circumstances. Speaking of strange, JR. JR.
Hey, Avi Vesavis.
Sorry to wake you up.
Hey, I was just napping there here on the road.
What's up, man?
Hey, it's the Golden Air. Robbie Gould, man.
Six field goals.
Dude, that guy is my fantasy king.
Is that 11 field goals in 2 weeks, by the way?
I think so.
3 weeks. No, 3 weeks. Add in the freaking Chicago game.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a record. It's an NFL record. The guy's a freaking machine. I haven't been this excited about a quarterback since Ronnie Bass showed up to play for Denzel Washington. I'll tell you right now, freaking the Garoppolo machine. And he's just so damn good looking. He's like, takes everything from Brady and just says, here, look, I'm dark-haired, fancy-eyed dude that just touches the ball. And he threw some, like, crappy passes, like they were not spirals. But they seem to find people's friggin' hands all the time. And he just has this natural ability. And it's nice. It's been a while since, as a Niner fan, to see someone actually execute something when it's important.
And his hair flows in the wind when he takes it.
Oh, my God, he's gorgeous.
All right.
He's a Christmas miracle, for God's sake. See you guys.
Thanks, JR. Did he say he had fancy eyes?
I think he did.
Yeah, he did.
Have a group of men ever talked about how good-looking a quarterback is more than people have talked about how good-looking Jimmy Garoppolo is?
I don't think so, but I also don't want them to miss how good he is.
He's
been good, but he is good-looking.
He's the perfect man.
He is.
He is absolutely
flawless.
He'll
never lose.
He's not just a piece of meat. He's a person.
Okay, fair enough, Chris. Got to be careful with the way we talk about athletes.
Climate.
Speaking of climates, did you hear the one about the football owner who? Oh, never mind. Yeah. We'll get to that later. How about this one here on 44-11-40? So you guys are going to bash Big Ben like he wasn't flawless up until the end. No, that actually has nothing to do with our conversation. You calling him a liar is an assumption, like you know, or any of us know, what happened during the final play when he threw the pick. So I don't know how he's a liar, always jumping to a conclusion. That's the text here on 44-11-40. No, I wouldn't say we're jumping to a conclusion, more that we're forming a hypothesis. Based on the post-game press conference, based on what Mike Tomlin said, I feel like it was his call. Based on some things that Tony Dungy said last night on Football Night in America, and Rodney Harrison said as well, it's not an assumption. That's just a hypothesis. Mm-hmm. I'm just taking the information that we have and forming a conclusion from it. I don't think he was told. I think he made the call on his own. I don't think he was forced in a position where I didn't know what to do. It was too late. It was too late. No, it wasn't.
Never too late.
Because only two freaking people on the field were moving.
Yeah.
You and the guy you threw the ball to. You still could have thrown the ball out of bounds.
Yeah.
You chose not to. You had an idea.
Or could have spiked it, too. You could have clocked it.
It didn't. You could have done a number of.
Yeah.
You could have done about anything except what you actually did.
Right.
And then you tried to pass the buck. And given the way that he's talked this season, I don't think that's a presumptuous on our part at all. Keep those texts coming because there's a lot of them, and there's not a lot of Roethlisberger fans here on the text line. Nick, we'll get to you. If you want to jump in on the phone lines, you can, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We got to talk about the Kings as well. We'll do that here in this first hour of the Lowdown. We could talk all day about the Raiders, about index cards, about fumbles out of the end zone. We can talk about what's a touchdown, what's not a touchdown, what's a catch, what's a not a catch. We got to get to the Sacramento Kings here in just a couple of minutes. Nick, you've been waiting patiently. We really appreciate it. What's on your mind, my man?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Excellent.
Good. Hey, I just want to ask you guys' opinion. Are you guys really surprised if the Raiders are 6-8?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at. Like, I feel like I know what you're saying, like we shouldn't be. But, yeah, actually, I am. Jason, yeah, we are.
You know, and I think, honestly, most Raider fans, I think, will take the same take that you guys are taking. You know, as Lincoln Kennedy said on Grant's show the other night, I think it was Grant's show, you know, they shouldn't be surprised. You know, they squeaked out a lot of wins last year against the average opponents at best. You know, if you go back and look last year, who did they beat? You know, they squeaked out at the beginning of the year against the Saints, a non-playoff team. The only playoff win, if I remember right, was against the Texans. And I think it was a Brock Osweiler-led Texans. So, you know, as we go this year and Reggie McKenzie didn't put much value on fixing the defense from last year,
yeah.
You know, I think if the Raiders are looking to fix their problems, that's a big issue, you know. Instead of Musgrave being fired last year, I think the Raiders were, fifth in overall offense last year, and they fired their offensive coordinator, but kept Ken Norton around, who was ranked 28th, I think, was their defense. So from a person that looks at the numbers, you know, it's no surprise to me that the Raiders are exactly who they are, you know, a subpar team.
Yeah, you know, Nick, like, I think that's a conversation that Jay – I speaking for myself, J. Ross, I know we had discussions with Raider Nation about, you know, it doesn't feel like they did anything to address their biggest weakness last year, which was the defense. But I think both of us thought the offense would be a little bit better than they were last year.
Yeah, which was already, as he said, Nick said, fifth. Mm-hmm. They go from fifth to, I think right now they're 22nd.
That's not good.
And no matter what, if they got a few breaks, they did last year, but that's 12 wins. I mean, they're at 6.
Yeah,
that's a huge drop off, and they've been blown out quite a bit too.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't realize. Honestly, a great quarterback is only good as his coordinator. Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, you know, look how McDaniels did over in New England.
No, look at Case Keenum.
Yeah.
Look at Case Keenum and Jared Goff. Those are two examples for this year.
Those are great examples, and the problem I almost feel bad for a Raider fan because they go out and pay an average quarterback, Derek Carr, $25 million, second highest paid quarterback in the league, and the guy's not accurate. You know, he's not accurate. Yeah, he's definitely a great leader, and, you know, I think he robbed the bank on that one, but only time will tell. But I'm a big Niners fan, as you guys can probably tell, bagging on them little Raiders real quick. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, on the other side of the bay now, you know, Jimmy G and Shanahan, you know, I think between two of those guys, you know, they have great chemistry, and I think they're starting to understand each other. You know, Jimmy's really, really struggled in the red zone, but it's expected. The guy's only had the playbook less than a month.
Well, not just that, Nick. It's also the players around him.
Yeah,
he's working with very little, and he's done a hell of a job. Even if his best, it feels like Jimmy Garoppolo's best weapon right now is his kicker.
Right.
And that's okay. Yeah, I mean, that's okay
that's
right
enough.
Now. Yeah, that's enough. And when they get those skill position players, when they get a better offensive line to protect whoever their running back is and to protect Jimmy Garoppolo, San Francisco 49ers fans are in for a really good future. Nick, thanks for the call. I do say I think Nick's wrong about Derek Carr, by the way. I think Derek Carr is a significantly better than average quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's his back. I don't know if it's just the overall function of the Raiders this year. I don't know if it's the different offensive coordinator. I don't think this year is indicative of what Derek Carr is going to be. I think last year is a lot closer to what Derek Carr is as an NFL quarterback. But obviously we're going to have to see that again before making that judgment. But I'm not against. Derek Carr is a far better than average quarterback.
Yeah, just to have fun with Nick here. He was kind of making fun of the Raiders. What were their big wins last year? If we're doing that, which I'm not a big fan of that argument, can't we do that to Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh, of course. I mean,
the Bears, the Texans, the Giants.
Two totally different situations.
Yeah.
So.
Or the Giants was Beathard, but still. And then Texans, who we all – or Titans, who you thought they would win yesterday. And that team needed to get in for the playoffs. Didn't look
Yeah, and I don't know that – that was just – I feel like they have something wrong. I think they believe – they're the –
They're enjoying themselves.
They're the least dysfunctional three-win team in history. Yeah. Like, you look at Cleveland, the Browns are imploding.
Right.
The Seahawks have, what, five more wins?
Or four, yeah, because the Niners now have four, right? Yeah.
Oh, so four. So they have four more wins than the 49ers do, and they're crumbling.
You're a good point.
They're
crumbling
at the seams, but this team is just like, hey, let's play football here.
Right.
Guy, what's up, buddy? Thanks for the call.
Hey, you know, we were talking. I went to the Raider game yesterday. I'm a season ticket holder for many, many years. They changed rules. You know, you can't advance the fumble because of the holy roller game. There's just a lot of stuff that changes, you know, tough rules, all that kind of stuff. But to see the card, the piece of paper between the marker and the football yesterday, if there's any space at all between those two pieces, those two things, it's not a first down. How he turns around, smiles to the audience, and gives us all the first down, it kind of felt like he was giving us the first down finger. And it was abysmal to watch that kind of stuff happening. And I've never heard of this fumble through the end zone rule. I know it's a rule, and everybody's going to tell me it's a rule, but how can you go from third down to now the defense gets the football? It just doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. And then with the last caller about Derek Carr, you know, Derek Carr, does he have a supporting cast? I mean, Cooper's got stone hands. He hasn't caught a football. He won, you know, eight passes in the last 30 attempts or what have you. I mean, do we want to send this team to the playoffs? I wouldn't want to see this team in the playoffs. I'm not a Raider fan since 77. So, I mean, I don't know what to do. What hole do we plug? How do we fix this?
Yeah, you brought up a couple of good points there, man, and we appreciate the call. Thank you so much, and thanks for listening. He brought up a great point about Cooper and Crabtree. We thought last year they were possibly the best wide receiving duo in the NFL. Not so much now.
No.
Not even close now. But it's like a domino effect. Like, how and why? How did the question that we'll ask in 2 weeks, you know, that dark Monday when Raiders season is over, how did we get here?
Right. That's what's confusing, because he said they don't have any weapons. They came in as an offense that was projected, again, fifth a year ago, to maybe do some historic things this year, with Carr coming off an MVP-type season, was healthy. We thought they still had the two great receivers, added a good tight end with Marshawn Lynch. I didn't think offense was going to be the issue, and it turns out it has been. So they've got quite a few things to fix.
And you can't be that deficient on defense and
without an elite offense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Mike.
What's up, guys? How are you guys?
I feel like we're just letting all Raider fans vent today, which is fine. You're more than welcome to, Mike. What do you think, man?
I was just commenting on Nick's call. That's funny, because that guy's a diehard Niner fan. He's the one that, you know, and said, in Jed York, we trust. In Kaepernick, we trust. So he's like every 49er fan. They're nothing but sheep. But I agree with what you guys said. Derek Carr, he's had a bad year. He's not hitting his spots, but look at the players around him. His offensive line is not giving him that much protection. He's had injury. Not that that's an excuse. He's just had a bad year so far.
Yeah.
So the Raiders need to make some adjustments. You know, I think the big problem right now is our coaching staff. I'd like to see Del Rio gone. He's a proven guy that can't get it done or win a division. Todd Downing, he was out of place in the first place. He had no business being an offensive coordinator for, it's like giving keys to a Ferrari with a guy that just got his driver's license. Come on, man. You can't do that.
Mike, we appreciate you, Mike. Sorry to cut you short. I will caution this if you're eager to get rid of Jack Del Rio, which you're welcome to have that sentiment today. You're welcome to text it, call, whatever you want to with that. When you make that proclamation, tell me who the replacement is.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of who's going to be better than Jack Del Rio that can coach this team. And I'm sure there's guys out there. I just want to know who they are. Hour number two of the Lowdown's next.